Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on NBC Sports Washington. And, of course, 106.7 The Fan, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. We'll be joined by Steve Phillips at 7:20. He's the host of Leadoff Spot on MLB Network Radio and Sirius XM. We'll get into where the Major League Baseball season stands. We mentioned it earlier that the latest is the players rejected the owner's proposal of a 50-game season. Of course, the players, they've been lobbying for like 114 games and playing all the way into November, which I think is going to be tough for some of the cities if you're playing in home stadiums. And, I mean, there's going to be potential snow in some of those places.
What other problems did they have besides the number of games? Were there other things in there that they objected to?
Well, I think they objected to the way that they were, you know, going to get paid as part of it. But so it's going back and forth. So we'll talk to Steve Phillips about that coming up in about 15 minutes. Did want to mention something kind of baseball related. Jason's old buddy, Lenny Dykstra, who, of course, starred with the Mets and Phillies for years and has had quite a few problems with the law since then. He had a lawsuit against Ron Darling, who was his former teammate with the Mets. So Darling, who has been a color commentator for years, not exactly sure when he said it or where he said it, but
in his book.
Okay, in a book. He alleges in a book that Dykstra dropped the N-bomb and used racial slurs at Boston Red Sox pitcher Dennis Oilcan Boyd prior to Boyd taking the mound during the 86 World Series. Dykstra denied that, filed a lawsuit against Darling for defamation and emotional distress. The judge threw out the case, and it's funny because he said Dykstra's reputation is so bad that you can't libel him.
Right.
He's got such a bad past that, tossed it out.
Here's what the judge said. He said, based on the papers submitted on this motion, prior to the publication of the book, Dykstra was infamous for being, among other things, racist, misogynist, anti-gay, as well as a sexual predator, a drug abuser, a thief, and an embezzler.
Who said that? That's what the judge said?
Yeah.
The judge acknowledged that? Wow.
Further, Dykstra had a reputation, largely due to his autobiography, of being willing to do anything to benefit himself and his team, including using steroids and blackmailing umpires.
Right. So you can say whatever you want about
him. Considering this information, which was presumably known to the average reader of the book, this court finds that as a matter of law, the reference in this book has not exposed Dykstra to any further public contempt, ridicule, aversion, or disgrace.
The judge
or
said,
evil opinion of him in the minds of the right-thinking persons, or deprivation of friendly intercourse in society.
I believe that Dykstra also accused Darling of faking his lymphoma.
Well, that's right? Quite a thing to fake.
Yeah, because he did some sort of hospital check or something, and there was no public record of the surgery or something, and he had a bunch of lawyers on his side, and he was basically saying that Darling came up with that in response to Dykstra and some of the allegations in the book, and Dykstra started raising questions about it, and then Darling to get sympathy said he had cancer. That was Dykstra's claim.
Right.
They're just trying to poop on each other.
By the way, the judge said, quote, Dykstra has a reputation for unsportsmanlike conduct and bigotry already so tarnished that it cannot be further injured.
Right. So you can say whatever you want about him.
You can say whatever you want. Doesn't
you
matter.
You can say he's a serial killer.
You cannot defame Lenny Dykstra.
It's impossible. You cannot assail his character.
Well,
further.
I'll still say it's one of the most surreal nights of my life when I was hanging out with Dykstra in Beverly Hills.
He's a guy that would take a basketball job. Like, he would take multiple basketball jobs.
Take one, give one, all of that.
Some of the things that we talked about and some of the things that I saw.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I can't talk about it on the radio.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, you talked about the fact of what he was doing at the end of the night, right?
I don't remember. I guess you can't libel him, so I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
I think you're good.
Yeah, I think you're good.
It's fair game right now.
I was at his... Well, you know, he lived in the garage.
Like a Fonzie apartment.
He lived in a studio apartment.
Like the old man thing.
Above a garage.
Right.
In like a $8 million home.
Right.
And,
He basically
we hung out there till 3 in the morning.
He lived in the bachelor's garage. Like a mansion they show on The Bachelor.
Did he send you out on like a beer run or something?
He sent us out on a beer run and a Red Bull run.
Right.
Yeah, he wanted beer. Well, no. He didn't send us out on a beer run. He sent us out on a Red Bull run because he had a big, liter of vodka in his apartment, and he wanted to just throw it down with some Red Bull.
Right.
So Ryan the Bellman and I drove out to, some 7-Eleven and picked up some Red Bull.
Right. And then was he on the computer trolling?
Oh, he was
when
on
you came back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was on a mission.
Yeah. Right. Was he successful?
He wasn't successful when we – no, I don't think so. I think we ended up leaving at 3, and then he probably just went to bed, passed out.
He'd had enough day at that point.
Yeah. But it was good. But we met at the Beverly Hills Hotel bar before that. So I met him at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he had his book out, and he was handing his book out and signing his book to all the valets and the bellmen. And then we walked in, and he knew everybody. I mean, he knew everybody in the hotel bar. I remember we met the people who founded. God, I can't remember what restaurant it was. It was a big chain restaurant, and they were also. It was the husband and the wife. We met them right at the same time at the bar.
Wasn't it like a chicken sandwich place thing or wraps?
Remember what it was?
Wraps, and it's big on the West Coast.
Yes. And I can't remember what it was, but we met them, and Dykes was telling stories to them. He was so friendly to everybody. Now you could barely understand him.
Right.
Cuz he
has like no teeth, right?
Well, his teeth falling out. Did he have his teeth in when you were with him?
His teeth, I don't know, but it sounded like they weren't in.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about him to me is, so Dykstra had a successful Major League Baseball career, and he did have all of these issues, but wasn't he a CNBC stock analyst for a while?
Yes.
I think
they would go to him as like being an expert.
I don't think he had his own show.
No, I think he would write a column too for like The Street or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they thought he was like some god stock picker.
I'd love to see the returns on those stocks at this point. Probably a bunch of losers.
I mean, what an absolute
catastrophe. I'm going to guess his portfolio isn't loaded with like Microsoft, Google, Apple.
Don't buy.
I can't believe he has any money left.
A portfolio.
How does he have any money?
He lives in a Fonzie apartment.
Bet you he doesn't live there anymore.
Yeah, but I'm reading this article. He was once worth an estimated $58 million.
I can't imagine he was ever worth that. I mean, maybe. Maybe at the absolute height of the stock market craze and he hit on a few winners when everybody was hitting winners and then just lost it all when the market collapsed.
He's had to pay so many lawyers.
Yeah.
There's just right. No way he's got any money left.
He has to get people to donate teeth to him.
Somebody more extended than Rahm in the stock market. Lenny Dykstra. Somebody way overextended. Right. Living on the margins.
Right. God, man. I got Seis for him, too. I was a huge Lenny Dykstra fan.
Oh, I hated him.
You did. Love nails.
I hated him when he was a player because, well, especially after 86.
Well, I liked him. He was like, because I was a Pete Rose guy, and he reminded me of Pete Rose, just the way he played. Probably two scoundrels, some of my favorite players.
Right. By the way, I'm reading, so it was 2005 after his playing days.
Yeah.
Jim Cramer is the one from Mad Money.
Jocked him.
Who basically picked him because I guess Cramer was a Phillies fan back in the day. He liked him.
Yeah, he's a big Eagles fan, too.
So he got an investment column on thestreet.com, as Eric mentioned. Customers paid $999.95 a year for his advice.
He was a stock tout. What a joke. I'm sure you're going to have Lenny Dykstra filling up your portfolio with winners.
By the way,
terrible idea.
The listeners are great. They just reminded me. They remember everything. I can't remember anything.
The name of the restaurant?
It was Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, those are everywhere. Yeah.
They're everywhere. Yeah. It wasn't just West Coast, but it was the husband and wife who founded Jersey Mike's. It's 100% correct.
Hmm.
Well, they're loaded, whoever they are.
Oh, that's why they were staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
They're so rich.
Probably $1,200 a night.
What's the difference with like a Jersey Mike's and say like a Subway? Do they have like a specialty?
Steak and cheese. At
Jersey Mike's, they'll cut the meat for you right there as you are getting your sub.
Yeah, they have like a griddle.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Jersey Mike's.
But they also have their own sauce too.
Do Quiznos? Does that even still exist? Is that a thing?
Not
or are they
a
gone?
Lot. There might be a few left, but
there's,
not a lot.
There's a couple Quiznos out there.
What are there more of, Hardee's or Quiznos?
Hardee's.
Hardee's, especially down Hardee's. South.
Oh, really?
If you go down south, there's Hardee's every other block.
What about Firehouse Subs? That's still a thing?
Yeah, I saw one in Fairfax this weekend.
There's one in Gaithersburg right next to the Cava.
Yeah, we used to go to the one in the Fairfax area near the Whole Foods, I think, right?
Yep.
Was there one near there?
It's right next to the Safeway in Pomodoro's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. That's got to be
Quiznos,
right up your...
Quiznos got hoard when Subway came out with their own toaster ovens.
Well, how hard is it for Subway to look at Quiznos and say, oh, all we have to do is buy a toaster?
Why didn't they think
they
about
said,
that earlier?
Buy 5,000 toasters, and we're going to put those jerks from Quiznos right out of business.
Yeah, but they're silly, whatever they are, convection oven, whatever they are.
I know, cakes are in stock at them.
Yeah, but I do. Middleby kitchen products, but they're not proprietary to Subway. Anybody can buy them. Anybody can trot out a toasted sub. But I guess they felt like that was a competitive advantage for a few years until Subway caught up.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
I
up
want
next.
One of those. If Subway has an old one. Hey, does Sven still own a couple Subways?
I don't really know, to be honest.
See if you can find out if I could get one maybe they were about to throw out. The butt-sized to toast something in 20 seconds. I'm butt-sized for one of those big industrial Subways.
You're going to put that in your kitchen.
Yeah,
oh,
I'd be so proud.
Boost my stock price. Buy one, EB.
Dude,
buy
if I had a Subway, whatever those oven things are.
Yeah, they're called air fryers. Get one for about $85.
They are a toaster oven.
I don't think those are air fryers.
Close you think it's, Rick. That's the same thing.
You think?
He's making a joke.
You're going to put a big Subway toaster oven next to your Viking range.
No, Wolf range.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would look silly. With a big Subway sticker on it.
Right. I'm sure you are.
I would be butt-sized.
All right, coming up next, Steve Phillips is going to join us. He hosts the leadoff spot on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. We'll get into where Major League Baseball stands, if we're going to have a season and more. Here on the Junkies.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Steve Phillips, now the host of Leadoff Spot on MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Hello, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for the time, bro.
Are you hunkering down in a tropical beach location? Where's Steve Phillips these days?
No, I'm in Connecticut. Okay. We have beaches, but they're not tropical. just getting ready. Look, we get up to talk baseball every day, and there's always something to talk about, both from the past, the present, and you know, speculation for the future. So just here sort of grinding it out, hoping to get baseball back on the field.
Were you doing the show from your house the entire time, or did you go into a studio pre-COVID?
No. You know what? What's a blessing is that on SiriusXM, I do the show from Connecticut. CJ Nitkowski is one of my co-hosts. He's in Atlanta, or Eduardo Perez is in Miami Beach. And our studios have been in D.C. Now, we're using some remote studios. We use some in California. We use some in Kentucky. But we've been able to sort of just keep doing it from home like we've been doing it all along. And we, you know, for a while, we're pre-recording the show so they could upload it into the satellite. But now we're doing it live and taking calls. And so it's been sort of business as usual right now.
We mentioned this story about Lenny Dykstra before we had you on, where a judge actually said that he can't actually be defamed because his reputation is so bad. And I'm wondering, did you have any overlap with Dykstra, or did he leave New York before you were there?
So I signed to play in the Mets farm system in 1981.
Oh, you did?
And so did Lenny Dykstra. Nice. And so we were the same year. We drafted in 1981, both drafted. He had a deal coming from California. He did not want to go to rookie ball. And I think he was like a seventh-round pick. I was fifth round. And his deal was he did not want to go to rookie ball, so they let him go to Shelby, North Carolina to play. I signed and went to Kingsport, Tennessee. So I knew him from instructional league program and for being around him, and obviously, you know, back in the Mets organization, you know, for a long time. To me, it's more of a sad story than anything else. You know, there are challenges there for him that he's not been able to overcome. And so, you know, I've got a certain level of empathy for him, you know, understanding some of those struggles. So, it's a sad one. And you know, quite honestly, I would expect that he would want to sue the judge after his sort of answer to the suit, because he defamed him more than Ron Darling did, I thought.
Right. Now, he's going to sue everybody.
I'm assuming you have a lot of empathy for minor leaguers. You've been there yourself. Do you feel like the major league owners made a mistake by not banding together at the beginning of the coronavirus and by saying, look, we're just going to pay the minor leaguers. We're going to take care of them. They don't make a lot of money as it is. We're going to pay them through this thing instead of, you know, we've seen what happened to the A's and the Nationals and as far as that, like them wanting to scale back the payments to the minor leaguers. Should they have banded together at the beginning and just paid all of those guys?
Well, I don't know that they could have done it from the beginning. I really don't. And like, I don't think that people really understand. And, you know, one of the things we're talking about on our show this morning on MLB Network Radio is, I don't know if you saw the Tom Ricketts quotes, but the losses this year for owners are biblical. Like, that's his quote. They're biblical. It's that significant. and the cash flow is a major problem. And so, you know, you don't pay the kids much to begin with, but when you the A's can't pay their rent, it tells you how significant this is. You know, they're having a draft, and they're only having five rounds because they don't have the cash flow. And they're going to have five rounds, and you're only going to get $100,000 of your signing bonus this year, and it's going to be spread out over the next couple because the lack of games, the lack of fans, is a serious, serious cut in the revenue for franchises. And so I get it, and I understand why they sort of left it open to each individual organization because not everybody's circumstances are the same. And if the A's can't pay their rent, then I understand why they've got some struggles paying the minor league players, and they're going to have to make some furloughs and cuts.
Well, it looks grim, to say the least, now, because, you know, the NHL, they figured it out. The NBA looks like they've figured it out. I know there's some details that they have to iron out. But in baseball, they can't, you know, it's a money thing now, and they can't. If you're saying that it's biblical for the owners, I don't know how the owners can agree to the prorated salaries on half a season or more. You know, that it's going right back and forth now, and the players wanted 114 games, and there was no way that the owners were going to agree to that. Now they come back with 50 games. I mean, that's a huge chasm. It looks grim, Steve. I don't know how you view it, but that's the way we view it.
Yeah, I get it. First of all, you know, I think there's a distinction between the NBA and the NHL. They were 65-75% done with their season.
That is true.
Their players got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, baseball sort of coming in, it's a much different animal. And I think that the NFL and the NHL would probably be sort of trying to figure it out like baseball is if it was at the start of their season. So I think that there's a distinction there. The other thing I'd say is that what I don't think players are understanding is that if there's a scenario that the only offer on the table to the owners to consider is playing without fans with prorated salaries, they are going to lose more money under that formula than if they don't play at all. And so the owners will choose not to play because if there's not another option the players are willing to consider, then they just won't play. And you know, the 50-game proposal from the owners was more of a threat because the other thing I don't know that the players are recognizing is they keep playing dumb about the March 26th agreement that they made with Major League Baseball. They keep saying, no, prorated salaries, that's it. Well, there's language in that agreement that says Major League Baseball and Players Association will negotiate and discuss in good faith the economic feasibility of playing without fans in the stands. What did they think that language meant? A reasonable person would read that and say, oh, yeah, it means if there's not fans, the owners aren't going to make money with revenues, and they're not going to be able to afford prorated salaries. They're going to have to discuss how they make it work. Like, it clearly says it's a renegotiation. I see it. I don't know why they don't. And they keep ignoring that and disavowing it. The other thing that they don't seem to understand is there is language in the agreement that says the commissioner can present a schedule that he sees fit, trying to get as many games in as possible, that is economically feasible under the health and financial wherewithal of the game, language like that. Mm-hmm. Which means the commissioner can say, here's a 50-game schedule, boys. We'll pay you the prorated salaries because you're unwilling to negotiate everything else. And what that means is there's a certain amount of loss teams are willing to take because they think the postseason money will compensate them enough to pay that amount of money. 50 games with prorated pay. Now, the owners will say, you want to play 82 games? Fine. Take the money we're willing to pay you for 50 with prorated salaries and spread it out over 82. You want 114? Doesn't work for us because the playoffs are the most important thing for us to get the money to pay you your salaries. And if we push that into November, then we are jeopardizing the second wave of the virus coming. We're going to lose the playoffs. And so, but the players don't seem to understand the language that's actually in the agreement.
Well, is that a leadership problem with Tony Clark, or are they just not paying attention? I mean, what's the root of that?
Well, I think that it's a negotiating ploy. I mean, they're smart guys, and look, Tony Clark's a good guy. I know he was on my team of the Mets. Like, I love Tony Clark. He's a really good guy. As is Rob Manfred, a really good guy. It's a negotiating tactic. No, we're not doing it. We're just not going to do it because we're saying we're not going to do it. No, it doesn't mean that. It means this. It's just digging in. Now, the only thing that gives me some hope, I'm not optimistic, but I have some hope, that the players' latest proposal did include some deferrals. The owners' latest proposal did include prorated salaries. Now, not within the context that's acceptable to either team, but at least the concept was in there. And usually when you throw it out there, it means there might be another scenario under which you consider deferrals if you're the player or the owners. I'm sorry, or the players. And there's another proposal where maybe the owners might consider prorated salaries beyond the proposal they made. So it gives me some hope that there's some room for an agreement, but I'm not overly optimistic.
So who in your opinion, who is it more vital to, the players or the owners, to play this year? I would assume it's players.
Oh, players by far. I mean, here's the thing. But the players don't understand. Right now, the proposal that they've made to the owners, it's better for the owners to not play. And right. Which means that the players, not only will they not get prorated salaries for 114 games, they'll get nothing.
Right.
Zero. And so the owners will lose less by not playing. The players will get no salary. And so, like, to me, I get, look, it's a tough situation. Another thing is, it sure feels trivial to be able to sort of talk about this stuff with what we're going through, with the virus, with the social injustices and the protest and the appropriate protest for what is going on. Like, can we just make a deal without looking like we're immature and just find a way to get a deal done and stop pounding our feet and throwing temper tantrums and make a deal to be a leader in society, which baseball was back in the day with Jackie Robinson, which it was after September 11th, 2001. This is an opportunity, and I just don't want baseball to lose it because we can't figure this out.
Well, that's what I said on the start of this show this morning. I said these guys should be negotiating around the clock. Get something done. Don't throw out a proposal just because it's negotiations, and then the owners wait 4 days, and then they come back with another proposal, and the players wait 4 days. You know,
that's not the nature of negotiations.
I understand, but that's what Steve's saying. Steve's saying, let's just get this done. Let's not be in babies. The country needs it. Obviously, the players need it.
They need it.
The fans need it.
They need a deadline.
Yeah. So right. So look, you guys are both right. So ultimately, you need some motivator, right? Something to spur the decision to be made. Now, it's got to be a hard deadline, not these soft deadlines, because the reality is, with an 82-game schedule, the players are already willing to go to the end of October. Now, the owners aren't, but they can take their time. If they start on August 1st, they can still get in their 82 games. Now, it's not in a time frame they want. So I think that nobody feels pressured. I believe they either need to create that. Either we get a deal done or we don't, and we're not going to play. Or there's got to be some other motivator, which is, what's going on in the world today gives us the reason to have a deadline to get this done because it's the right thing to do. Short of that, it'll be this sort of back and forth and wait it out and see who blinks first.
Right. Typically it's the players. But
what about when Max Scherzer tweets out there's no reason to engage with the owners until they open up the books and show us exactly what they're losing? Do you think these owners are lying about that?
No. First, I think it was the absolutely appropriate, brilliant move. That the fact that Max Scherzer was the one from the eight-man executive board to send that out was not a mistake. He's Max Scherzer. He's got more credibility than everybody else. So, you know, I don't know whether he crafted it or they crafted it in form or they did it together. It was the right move. The reality is the owners are not opening their books. But Tom Ricketts in an interview came out and said, listen, you guys don't understand. We reinvest the money in the team. In Chicago, at Wrigley Field, they just did renovations at the ballpark. They don't have money sitting in a pool somewhere, in a vault somewhere, that they go and drop by and look at it every day. When I was with the Mets, I was there 13 years, six as the general manager. I had to create budgets, work with budgets, everything else. There aren't two sets of books. We budgeted to break even. We projected revenues, worked back off of that to come up with our payroll, spent the money, and I spent every dollar because I didn't want them to take money away later. Then I hoped at the deadline, if things were going well, that we could add some money to go for it. If we were losing, we traded away players to cut our losses so that we'd get back to sort of break even. If we made the playoffs, we'd made money. If we didn't, we hopefully broke even or we lost a little bit. That was how we went about it. That's how teams are doing it. Yes, values of franchises go up exponentially. People look at it and say, we don't get it. How, if you're not making that much money, but the reality is that it's owning the asset that has the value. There's not cash sitting around. And this is real for the owners. The cash flow problem is real. And they're making 60% of the revenues they would normally make, and the players want 100% of the day rate, and that 40%, or now maybe some of that was profit, some of it's loss. I don't know how that goes, but in the end, it ends up a loss, and the owners need to share it, and the players don't want to do revenue sharing, which I thought could be some part of the solution, that if there are fans in the stands coming back, then maybe there's more revenue. They can make some more money. Deferrals would make some sense. There's got to be somewhere. And it's not about putting a salary cap in a place. And it's not about the collective bargaining agreement 2021. It's what do we do to find some common ground to get up back on the field this year?
Joined by Steve Phillips, host of Leadoff Spot on MLB Network Radio and Sirius XM. You touched on the Mets there. What are the chances we're going to see A-Rod and J-Lo buy into the Mets? They've rekindled their interest there.
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, I was the GM when we didn't sign A-Rod. And, you know, the sort of 24-1 label got attached to him. And when he signed with Texas at the winter meetings, he said, I hope me and 24 of my Texas Ranger teammates run into Steve Phillips in a dark alley. So I don't know. I don't know that he really wants my opinion on it. I think it would be intriguing. I think players, once they get in, as Derek Jeter has found out, it's not as easy as you think when you're a player to make the decisions, to make the tough decisions where players may not get it, your staff may not get it, the fans may not get it. And players sort of look at it and think, well, what are they doing? Why don't they just do that? Why don't they just do that? Now you know why they don't just do this and that. So I think it would be intriguing, interesting. The challenge of the Mets against the Yankees would go through the roof. And the Mets and Marlins matchup with Jeter down there, because those two guys were always competitive, would be really fun as well. So, look, I think it'd be back pages every day in some form, good or bad. And so I think it'd be pretty interesting.
Steve, getting back to the negotiations. So the owners are saying, okay, it's a cash flow deal. If we're not going to have any fans, obviously there's no money. So they've got to cut the salaries. But there's a chance there will be fans. Now, maybe not in the first week or the first 2 weeks, but I think eventually, I mean, the NFL's talking about doing this. All these other, I know the NHL is not, but there's a chance that in August, September, October, there will be fans. Now, maybe not full stadiums, but I can't imagine they're going to play a full season all the way to October without fans. I just can't envision
that. I agree. And we've already seen in Texas, the governor, Abbott has said stadiums can open at 25% capacity.
Right.
So the issue is this. How do you compensate for that? How do you account for that? And to me, the way to do it, because you don't know what's going to happen in every ballpark, is you actually come up with a deal without fans, and then you encompass some revenue sharing plan that accounts for fans coming in the ballpark. And I know the players go, oh, no, that's a salary. No, it's a chance for you to get more money. Because look, the biggest thing is we got to get the playoffs in, because the playoff money is the money that the owners are going to make to reimburse themselves for already having paid the players through the season. And so we can't push the playoffs back. So the way to go about this now, play games with whatever the financial appetite the owners have for it, because in the end, we won't play otherwise. And then build in some ability for the players to get more if the playoff share is bigger. I personally, my solution would be 65 games, prorated salaries, expanded playoffs to 24 teams. Mm-hmm. You start the playoffs, because it's 65 games, you start the playoffs in mid-September, so you're definitely going to get it in. It's going to allow you more money to be made out of that playoff share to afford the prorated salaries, plus it might give you more money for a revenue share with the players beyond that, that could give them more total money overall if that negotiated deal with the networks is as much as I think it can be.
So what does your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that the players wanted 114 games, which is 32 more than the 82 games baseball proposed. The owners came back with 50, which is 32 less than the 82 games Major League Baseball proposed. So I suspect we're going to play an 82-game season with prorated salaries, with deferrals without interest, multiple years, and contingencies upon that money about whether or not we get to the playoffs. Because if we don't get to the playoffs, the players can't get all the money, because the owners are going to lose. It will be catastrophic. So there's got to be contingencies on the owners getting paid for the playoff television deal to pay the players their full salaries, and it's going to be prorated and deferred for the long term. So the players can get what they want. The owners can get some relief on the money in the short term, some discount in the long term, and they can get some protections on the playoffs being played.
Steve, appreciate you joining us. It's Steve Phillips. Check out the leadoff spot on MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it,
Steve. Appreciate
interesting
it.
Stuff there. Do want to let people know there's never been a better time to clean out your garage than right now. Get rid of that old car or motorcycle. They'll even take the ATV or jet ski you haven't used in years. Because when you donate to the Purple Heart Foundation, you're helping a veteran in need. It's free, tax deductible, and their drivers are adhering to strict risk avoidance pickups. You won't even have to go outside. Schedule your pickup today at 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org. That's 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Every morning at this time, we do our World Series rewind. Today, we look back at Game 2 of the World Series, October 23rd, where Kurt Suzuki went yard and the Nats won 12-3. Here's our World Series rewind.
Listen weekday mornings at 7:40 and 11:40 for the World Series rewind.
Rewind! Remember where you are on October 30th.
For the Washington Nationals 2019 World Series championship season.
You want me to rewind that?
Presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation.
Kurt has never had a postseason home run. Here's the 1-0. Swinging a long drive, left field. He's got one now. Kurt Suzuki gives the Nationals the lead. That one above the Crawford boxes. Kurt Suzuki's first career postseason home run. And the Nationals lead the Astros 3-2 here in the seventh inning. He just missed one in the fourth inning. He did not miss that one here in the seventh. And the Nationals are back in front on Suzuki's long ball.
Wow. How cool is that? I didn't realize that Jags basically called that.
Well, he teed him up right there.
I mean,
there.
He basically called that thing.
That's right.
We didn't
well done by Jags.
It, but just with the perfect note right before he hits it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
and the Nats
awesome.
Turned that game was close and turned it into a laugher. They put up six runs in the seventh and then four more runs in the last two innings. Turned it into a blowout.
Right. God, what a topsy-turvy. World Series that was. That was insane.
It was.
Did you come away from that conversation with Steve Phillips encouraged that there's going to be a baseball season?
Yes, I told you all along there's going to be. I've been the one positive guy. They're going to look stupid if they're not back and everyone else is back. And this is just posturing over money.
Yeah.
You know, if a couple guys, for whatever reason, feel unsafe, then they won't play. But the vast majority of guys don't want to play.
I felt pessimistic and negative going into the Phillips interview. He made me feel a little bit more positive.
Yeah.
But if he says the players just don't understand that it's a cash flow problem, then I don't know. If they're just going to dig in and not move off of their stance, I just don't know.
Anybody want to gamble? We haven't gambled in a while. They will have an agreement within a week.
Well, I don't bet know. Against cakes.
I don't know what the deadline would be.
Always bet against cakes. How much are we willing to throw on that?
Typical standard jump
bet.
One?
I'm not driving to Olney to give you a dollar.
Oh, Venmo, Rick. Yeah, he can Venmo you a dollar.
Venmo me.
Yeah.
Ship those chips
I think I've used Venmo once in my life. I don't even remember what it is.
Ship those chips.
Where's the beat?
Why are you playing the old man?
Because JP doesn't know about transferring transferring money to everyone. He actually thought he would have to drive over
right.
and give
it. I was just thinking, because the last time I saw cakes, it was delivering the Comrex.
That's right.
A long time ago.
That was like the first week in March or second
I stayed
week
in my
March.
Car. Cakes was outside. We talked for about 10 minutes
yeah.
about, you know, stock prices and things like that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that of late.
And then rolled.
I haven't paid attention at all in like the last week. What's the market, man? In the toilet?
Market's up, baby.
Up and down.
I have no idea.
Market's
I think it
up.
Was up a little bit yesterday.
Your portfolio, up. Unless you
buy, buy, buy.
Chock full of losers.
God, I'm so bitter that I was cash poor at the bottom.
I am too. I'm so salty.
It's up, but God. Not from where it, not from the high.
No.
Because
I
look at way off the low.
I really don't look at those things very often. But I got a statement from my whatever you call it, 529 plans, the kids' college funds.
Yeah.
And I'm in investment funds, and. I mean, just lost thousands.
They got pommeled.
Oh, yeah.
Pommeled with a B.
Market futures up $1.60 today. It's so funny how the market doesn't really care about, I mean, initially they cared about Corona, but now they don't care. They don't care about the riots.
Don't care about civil unrest.
At least we care about bottom line.
Yeah, they just care about cash.
Market, isn't the market right now, and I don't know that much about it, driven really by some big boys like Facebook and Google, like, isn't that driving the market more than anything?
Don't know.
I don't know how much.
And don't care. As long as I see the arrow
I think
up every day.
Google, Facebook,
you're talking
Amazon.
About the, JP, you're talking about the FANG stocks. Come on, get with the program. Yeah. FANG stocks.
As long as I see green. I see green, I'm happy.
What are the FANG stocks, Cakes?
Facebook, Google.
Apple.
Apple. And right? What's the N? What's the N stock?
I don't know. Netflix. It should be Netflix.
Maybe it is Netrix.
I know
three of the four. And you better have those in your portfolio. If you don't, you're boned. Get those in your portfolio or your fund.
There's just a couple stocks that I really wanted to pull the trigger on, but I just was cash poor.
All right. Join a club.
Damn it. I mean, I literally picked the worst time to get a deck and patio.
It's not Apple. It's Amazon. Facebook, Amazon Netflix, and Google.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Bang.
I got half of them.
Netflix did a remarkable job because we talked about it before. Remember a few years ago, they when they changed their business model and they stopped allowing people to send in their DVDs or whatever.
Right.
And everyone said, well, that's the end of Netflix.
Yeah.
But then they pivoted on the on-demand thing.
Oh, how about this streaming thing? We'll get behind that.
Boom.
Right.
You guys, Joan, but Redbox is still there.
I don't know how they're still alive. I drove by one with my soon-to-be 16-year-old son in the car last week, and he looked at me and says, how is that still surviving? And I said, I don't know. I actually said, because guys like JP, squeakers, go and use the Redbox.
I haven't used the Redbox in probably a year and a half. But I just know that I go to Harris Teeter, and when you check out of Harris Teeter, there's a lotto machine, of course.
Yeah, well, of course.
I think there's a...
That's called necessity, JP.
Right. So there's a lottery machine. There's a Coinstar, and then there's a Redbox.
Well, Coinstar, they're brilliant, but don't you have to give them like a 10% VIG to use their service?
Yes.
That's finished. I would never pour all of my coins into their stupid machine.
Well, see, you cakes, though, that used to actually roll up your pennies or quarters.
I used to do that.
And go to the teller.
Play the old man sounder.
It's so worth it, by the way.
I used to do that.
It's so worth it.
So worth it?
No,
what is?
But now.
The Coinstar.
Because at my silly bank.
Where's the beat?
I'm acting like this is an innovation. I can bring in my Ziploc bag filled with coins, and they just dump it in their coin counting machine.
And they're not taking a VIG?
And then I'll take 10%.
Right.
It
all goes to the bottom line.
I have a thing full of nickels and dimes and quarters. I should probably go take that in.
Do you have a big change jar?
Oh, yeah. I got one right here.
But I don't even carry cash anymore. I never I don't even have change.
Whenever you break a dollar, just throw whatever it is into the jar.
Yes, I do that.
Silly. I get sliced.
Yep. And I wait till it gets to the top, and then I take it to Coinstar. Right.
Well, what did you used to have, Valdez? Didn't you have like some sort of nubs jar at the station?
That was a nubs mug.
The nub mug. Yeah. Nub mug.
Yes. That's when I was really, really poor.
Yeah. You're super poor.
Yeah. And then Brett would have whatever money he had from going to a firehouse for lunch, and he would put it into the nub mug. It'd be like a donation.
Right.
I love that. I love that bit.
Was that like an old Kansas coffee mug?
No, it was Iowa State for some reason.
Iowa State? Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was Kansas.
And then for a bit, we had listeners come down and donate into the nub mug for my JPO buy-in, and then they would throw balls at the dunk tank with crabs.
Right.
I remember the good old days.
Yes. Back when the show was fun. Yeah.
You know, everybody got jealous because we would do What Would You Do for the Junks, and people would just give us stuff. That was like Dave Portnoy took that to another level with his unboxings, and people would just send him gifts. Drabby, since that's in vogue now, can we go back to that?
You know what's funny?
We started that.
No. What's funny is Drab and I were doing a brainstorming session for like some digital content for the Junks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with an idea called Junkie's Prize Closet.
Okay.
This is right before
it's
the coronavirus.
All right.
Okay. And
let's hear this brainstorm.
No, well, that was kind of it, but Dave Portnoy stole it.
How? Yeah.
Right. I swear to God,
opposite of that?
No, because we were looking for things for Adam to do.
Yeah.
Right? Because. Right.
Has he been fired already? Or?
No, he's still around. But
he's still on the payroll?
You and I had talked a lot about doing behind the scenes videos.
Yes.
Right? And that was one of the ideas that we kind of came up with was
Junkie's Prize Closet.
Okay, which was.
You send us swag. We open it on camera. And talk about it.
Yeah, it's basically a promotion for your business, but it's also funny because you guys, are getting free stuff and talking about it. You joan on it. Talk about how psyched you are for it. Exactly.
So is this stuff that we don't want anymore, and you're just taking it and selling it?
No. We're still receiving. That's the good part. We're still receiving.
Like after the show, you guys would go into the green room. On a Friday, you'd sit down on the sofa, and we'd open up. The packages
that came in.
It's called on air. Let's kill two birds.
Well,
who wants to stick around?
There might be some legal reasons why we can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yes.
Look how excited EB is. The only thing that gets him more excited is celebrity sex tapes.
Yeah, like if somebody sends us a severed hand or a body part and we open it on the air, we have a Luca. Is that Luca Magnotta?
Yeah.
We have that guy on our hands.
Yeah, and we call it Prize Closet because it's just a bunch of free. Crap for you guys that we would just store and that we would bring to you once a week for you guys to open.
I guess we'll have to wait until September.
It's just so funny because one of the most innovative people in media took our idea.
Stole it.
Yes.
Right. Well, we originated that 20 years ago. People would come and just show up and they'd give us free car washes or dinners or liquor.
Wedges.
Or golf clubs. Yeah. Damn it. I miss those shows.
All we are trailblazers.
Why can't we do it now, though? I don't get it.
I don't understand it either.
Because
I know people were just jealous. They didn't like that the Junks were just getting all this nice swag. I know that.
I mean, we kind of talk about it anyway. Jealousy. Especially if sponsors send us stuff. We always talk about it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, when Corona sent us the stuff, we put it on camera.
Of course.
All right. I'm going to message something to you guys.
All right. Why we can't do it?
I'm just going to...
Does it rhyme with Crayola?
That's not payola if listeners give you stuff.
Yeah.
It can be.
It can be if you have props back.
Well, all right, so hold on. So just say I'm not going to plug your business. Just give us stuff.
By the way, we've been doing that for 25 years.
You know what? It's not going to matter, EB? We're doing a podcast.
Right.
It's not going to matter.
I can't wait to
we can do it on the slide.
I can't wait to do the podcast. We're going to sell it to Spotify for $100, and we're going to do it.
All right, I hope it's
more than 100.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Why don't we do the entertainment page next, EB? I saw Bad Baby was in the news.
Yeah, shocker. And you won't be surprised why.
So we'll get into that and more here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.